Thank you for joining us for this IEA Reporter podcast, which takes a look back at the recently completed 2018 legislative session. I'm Dave Harbison, Communications Director of the Idaho Education Association. I'll be moderating the podcast here to provide insight on what the results and outcomes of the legislative session mean for educators, students, and communities, is IEA President Carrie Overall. There's quite a bit to digest for the session, so let's get right to it, Carrie. Perhaps the most noteworthy and controversial development was the collaborative fight led by the IEA and other education stakeholder groups that defeated the latest version of a private school voucher bill. Let's start our discussion there. Carrie, why was stopping House Bill 590 so important, and how did the IEA and others do it?
Well, first of all, we owe the success of defeating House Bill 590 to educators and stakeholders across the state. We could not have done this work without the calls, emails from educators and educators traveling to the Capitol to attend the hearings that were held. We know that made a huge difference. We also are grateful to the Idaho School Boards Association, the Idaho Administrators Association, the State Board, the State Department, parents, the PTA, other education stakeholder groups, Idaho Businesses for Education, as well as community and professional organizations across the state who stepped up and said, House Bill 590 is not right for Idaho. We do not need private school vouchers in our state. House Bill 590 would have diverted funds from public funds from public schools to private and religious schools. And we know that public schools welcome all students into them, and many private schools do not. We also know private schools do not provide meals and transportation. They often don't have the infrastructure for special ed students, for at-risk students, for our highest need populations. And so a bill that claimed to try to meet the needs of our neediest students in actuality would not have met those needs. And we were very concerned about what that could do to funding for public schools as well. Currently, Idaho is 49th in the country in terms of per student funding. And this bill would have taken even more of that money away from public schools, thus being detrimental to funding that schools already desperately need. We also know that 75% of Idaho schools currently run supplemental bonds and levies to support key programs within their districts. And so pulling even more funds away from those districts that currently don't have enough could have decimated many of our rural and smaller districts across the state. We've seen the research. We know that vouchers are not effective. They're not a clear solution to schools. We will not be surprised to see similar legislation come up next year. We heard the sponsor say he was very frustrated by its not being held and talked about in the Senate. So we anticipate it coming back. And so we know this fight isn't over. We are going to be working with educators from across the state to collect their stories about what their public schools are doing to serve all students. And we hope that everyone will engage in that discussion with us in the year to come.
On the funding side, starting with the career ladder, we're into year four of the career ladder that was brought about by the governor's task force on improving education. So they funded the fourth year, $41.7 million for year four. Where do we stand on the career ladder currently? Are you optimistic about its future? What can you tell us about the career ladder?
We are pleased the legislature funded the fourth year of the career ladder. We're grateful that they continue to invest in the early educators in that early rung. We still remain concerned about veteran teachers being left out of funding on that top rung of the career ladder. We also know that the career ladder is simply an allocation model. It's not an actual salary schedule. And so many districts still use their own money, their discretionary money, to supplement salaries in order to recruit and retain the best educators. We are still well behind in teacher salaries with every state that surrounds Idaho. And so our border communities still struggle to recruit teachers when they can go across the border and make even more. We also know that our rural districts continually lose educators to the urban districts that may have supplemental levies that they can use to supplement salaries with. And what we know is that we need to provide allocation to every district so that every district can pay a fair and equitable salary for educators, regardless of whether they're a beginning first-year teacher or a veteran teacher near the end of their career. We also know the master educator premium is on the horizon. It's slated to roll out after the end of next year. And we don't believe that teachers should have to jump through hoops to prove that they deserve to have a pay raise at the top rung of the career ladder. So we hope that that we can look at that next year and see where that goes. We also would like the legislators to start thinking about what comes next after the career ladder. This is year four. It was only supposed to be a five-year model. So at the end of those 5 years, what is the state's plan for investing in teacher salaries? And we continue to look forward to being part of the discussion moving forward for what comes next for educators.
In terms of discretionary funding, sometimes called operational funding, the legislature added $15.9 million in that area. That includes $7.2 million to help districts with the rising health care costs. Now, there's no perfect formula that everybody's going to be in agreement on, and there was some disagreement on how to handle discretionary funding and how to handle the health insurance piece. What was your primary takeaway from how it all ended up?
Originally, if you looked at the governor's proposal, it didn't include any money for discretionary funding, so we're grateful that the legislators realized the need for districts to have access to increased discretionary funding. That's how many districts are able to fund programs that are not specific line items from the state. We continue to push the legislature to get rid of line items in the budget and allow districts increased flexibility. And so we're grateful. We believe the 15.9 was a good amount to allow for districts. Could it have been more? Always. Healthcare costs continue to be a problem. We've heard it over and over again. And so we don't believe just putting money into a line item is the solution for our districts. We hope to look for a more comprehensive approach to solving the healthcare rising cost issue for our districts.
All right, let's look at some other legislation that that would be relevant to education policy, starting with the bill about charter administrators. The IEA opposed this legislation, HB 566. It went through the legislature but was vetoed by the governor. What was the IEA's opposition, and what was this bill about?
So House Bill 566 would have allowed charter schools to have different rules for hiring their administrators. They could have hired administrators with simply a degree to run their schools. The IEA testified that we believe a certified, qualified administrator is necessary in every school, regardless of whether they're a charter or regular public school. We believe that if an administrator is the educational leader of a school. And in order to lead and inspire students and educators, you need to have been an educator and you need to understand professional development and the role of being an instructional leader for your teachers. And so we testified against it in both the House and Senate, and we are pleased that the governor recognizes the value of a quality administrator in every school, and we're pleased with his veto of that bill to ensure that all students, regardless of the school they're in, have a qualified administrator overseeing that school.
Now, the science standards, or the updated and revised science standards, have been a hot button for at least 3 years now in the legislature and around the state. Looks like we finally got a solution to that during this session. What's your takeaway there?
For the first time since 2001, Idaho has revised fully updated science standards. And it's been a long 3-year process to look at science standards. We had a number of IEA members that served on that committee, Melissa Farrow, Chris Taylor, Jamie Essler, Tanya Elmer, and we know that educators in the classroom really are the experts, and they took a long, hard look at what does good teaching look like? What should good, solid, foundational standards be for this content area, much the same as they would for any content area? And so trusting those experts who teach this day in and day out and approving the standards that they have proposed is a great step forward for Idaho being able to continue offering comprehensive science curriculum across the state in every school. And I know educators across the state are grateful to be moving on and know what the final solution is to the science standards.
There's also a bill that made it through the legislature regarding suicide prevention, House Bill 634. What's behind that one?
So it was inspired by what's called the Jason Flatt Act, and it's a bill to encourage training for all employees in recognizing suicide awareness and prevention. And the bill was not is not a mandatory training for educators. It's voluntary for districts to provide. But districts would have the flexibility to have access to programs that they could train their staff in on being aware of suicide signs and helping to prevent more of that from happening. We know that increased access to counselors and mental health professionals will help with this problem as well. But doing all we can to provide teachers with tools to ensure that their students are safe and have access to the resources they need is a good step toward making Idaho a great place to continue to live in.
Somewhat surprisingly, I think the reading test, the statewide reading test, ended up being a bill at the end of the session that caused a lot of people consternation, and nobody was quite sure where to go with it, and maybe delayed the end of the session. What was going on there?
Well, there were a couple different pieces there. One of the governor's task force recommendations from a few years ago was that Idaho look at its literacy test. And the literacy test is called the IRI, or the Idaho Reading Indicator. All students in grades K through 3 are given that assessment to determine where they are in their reading skills. And there were a couple different bills and that revolved around this issue. One was the proposal of changing the current IRI to a new IRI, and there was some disagreement among legislators as to who that new vendor was, whether they should be used, and the many states or many schools across the district had been piloting this new IRI program. Ultimately, the legislature agreed to fund a second year of this new program, and I look forward to traveling to schools to see that new program in action and working with educators to make sure it's meeting their needs at the K through 3 level. We also had a bill that proposed taking the IRI off of the evaluation framework for teachers, and ultimately the governor vetoed that bill as well. He felt like that bill or that indicator should be left on those measures. The IEA did not take a position on that. The IRI is one of about 15 different measures that teachers can choose to use as part of their evaluation. And so we stayed neutral on that discussion. But it was interesting that literacy became such a hot button issue when we hadn't heard much about it prior to the beginning of the session.
IEA President Carrie Overall is our guest on this IEA Reporter podcast. So the legislative session may be over, but discussions and decisions about education policy are always ongoing. So let's close out by taking a look at some of the things we'll be watching closely over the summer and heading into the 2019 legislative session. Maybe at the top of the list would be the school funding formula. What can we look for there?
Absolutely. We know that the last 2 years, the legislators have met in the interim, and they've studied the school funding formula, public education funding formula, to get a sense of how Idaho funds its public schools. We know that this interim session will be the most important session yet. They're beyond the research phase, they're beyond that gathering of information phase, and now they're actually going to start be making decisions as to, do we change how Idaho schools are funded? Do we move from an average daily attendance model to an enrollment model? Do we fund per students versus through support units? It's very technical and very detailed. Many people don't understand how our schools are funded. What we know is that it can't be done quickly, and that we have to ensure that we understand the effects and the ramifications of those changes on every district before they're implemented. So we'll be monitoring their work closely. We know they're meeting in a couple weeks for the second meeting, and we will need our members and educators across the state to be engaged in that process and reach out to legislators and provide input as we start hearing some of the rumblings of those details to ensure that the needs of educators and students across the state are met.
Heard a lot about the teacher shortage in Idaho over the past number of years, and I know you were part of the teacher pipeline work group that that met over last summer and released a report. That report came to the State Board of Education. Superintendent Ibarra also released a report about the teacher shortage, and yet neither of those reports got any kind of publicity or any kind of hearing during the legislative session. Frustrating to you and to the IEA, and where do we go from here with all of that work that's been done?
Absolutely. We are very disappointed that what is actually a very detailed and comprehensive report that came from the State Board was not heard by our policymakers. for those who haven't read it, you can go to the state board's website and search for teacher pipeline work group recommendations. The state board just heard about it in their at their April meeting in April 2017, or their November meeting of November 2017, April 2018, and it talks about alternative authorizations and the number of those that are rising and how few alternate authorizations actually complete. It talks about Idaho's 15% attrition rate, that 15% of educators leave within their first 5 years. So we know that Idaho is struggling to recruit and retain teachers. It made some recommendations for what we could do. We didn't see any legislation around any of those recommendations. We saw one, a loan forgiveness bill, which was defeated in House education. And so we believe that lawmakers need to take a serious look at that data and look at solutions to ensuring that every district can recruit and retain the best educators possible. We don't know that educators or that legislators will be willing to take a look at that, but we're going to continue to push for them to be aware of that data and do something about it.
School safety has also become a major issue in light of some tragedies at various schools around the country. What's on the agenda as far as school safety for the state of Idaho?
We just heard last week that Superintendent Ybarra is planning to gather feedback from stakeholders about school safety and student safety. And so there's a survey coming out from the State Department around some of her plans. We have not met with the superintendent about her plans. All we know is based on the press release that came out, but we would encourage educators across the state to take that survey, let their voice be known, and provide feedback on some of her suggestions. And we'll continue to meet with the superintendent's staff and provide our feedback as well.
It's also worth noting that this is an election year, some key elections coming up. A third of the legislature will turn over due to resignations and retirements and people running for other positions. Primaries in May, the general election in November. What's the IEA's approach to this election season?
The IEA has our government relations committee that will meet next week to begin making recommendations in key election races. We know that a third of that, as you said, a third of the legislative seats are up. And we know that in many cases, these races will be decided in May in the Republican primary. So we encourage people to, if they so choose to register as Republican and vote in that primary. We also know that we've got primaries in both the governor's race and the superintendent's race. All of those races are important. We encourage every member to get out and vote and let their voice be heard, educate themselves on candidates. We'll be putting out pieces in the next few weeks comparing candidates so that members are aware of where they stand on public education issues. If members aren't aware of who their legislative candidates are, they can reach out to IEA and we're happy to share where lawmakers are on education issues. What it comes down to is that members need to be engaged. They need to understand, and really everyone, community members alike, need to understand how their lawmakers are voting. And if they're not voting in a way that they feel is best for the state, then they need to make their voice known and vote for or against those candidates. We also know that key school board races are coming up, and we know that oftentimes school board races are some of the most meaningful. And so anything educators, community members, parents, students who are 18, anything they can do to educate themselves on candidates and participate in the election process, we strongly urge them to do so.
Terrific. Carrie, thanks very much for your insight.
Thank you very much, Dave. It was great to be here.
All right. And thank you for joining us for this IEA Reporter podcast, recapping the 2018 legislative session. To keep up on the latest developments, be sure to follow the IEA on Facebook and Twitter and visit our website at www.idahoea.org.